Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mother ship?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome to the PGP, the Permission Granted podcast, the show about the show within the show. As always, you can listen to us on the normal DA show iTunes feed or podcast feed, however you normally listen to the show. Or on its own podcast feed, if you're kind of new to the show because of the new time slot, you're figuring out what this PGP is all about. This is its own podcast feed as well if you just want to subscribe to this, which is you can just search Permission Granted. So Mraz joins me now after we returned back from Miami last weekend. And I think all told, really fun week. I think we told some of the stories last week, like you exploding the bathroom next to my face.
Yeah. Well, I know this, went over this. It wasn't next to your face. There was a significant walk into the bedroom and the bed where you would be laying.
Well,
you make it seem like you put your head next to the toilet. I mean, relax.
The bathroom was very small.
Sure.
Very small.
Sure.
So much so that we couldn't even put the garbage can anywhere besides wedged in between the toilet and the wall.
Okay, that's true.
And like, you couldn't even get in.
That's true. It was tight quarters. It wasn't ideal.
And then my bed, the head of the bed, wasn't quite at the bathroom wall, but it was close. So I would say in real space, maybe my head was 3 feet away from the toilet.
I would say 6 feet.
Okay. All right. Maybe. 6 feet. I don't think it was 6 feet.
Was it 3 feet?
Maybe
3 feet to your legs.
5 feet.
I'll be happy to settle on five. But again, there was a wall there. I'm not going to say it was the biggest smell-proof wall in the world. You picked the bedroom next to the bathroom.
Strategic misfire. I agree.
You know, going forward.
So that was, we taped it on Thursday of last week. We taped it on Thursday.
Yes.
Yes. So then Thursday night, which we didn't get into, we touched on this morning on the air, was our romantic dinner.
Sure.
And we went out to Giorgio's, which was a Greek place surrounding a pool outdoors next to the water.
Right. And authentic Greek. I mean, everybody in there had the real accents. It was the real deal.
Yeah. It was very, very good. And you ordered the chicken souvlaki.
Yes.
I went with like a tuna. It was like, what would you say? Sliced tuna.
Kind of wrapped in a circle, sitting in like soup.
No, it wasn't really soup. It was like a light glaze, demi-glaze.
Yeah.
And
so, it was a mistake order.
Well, they messed up the order, remember?
Right.
Because it was supposed to be tuna over a bed of spinach.
Sure.
And they forgot the bed of spinach. They gave me the appetizer of it. Then they had to bring out the greens later.
Right.
But I really wanted a salad because I had eaten cheeseburger, fries, good burgers.
Sure.
We'd had Cuban twice in a row.
Sure.
I just was like, and we had the media night, which was sliders and fries. And
of course.
So I wanted a little green, and you order the chicken souvlaki, which is like a wall of chicken.
It was delicious with the tzatziki sauce, a great pita. It was so big, I had to fork and knife it instead of eating it like a dripping sandwich.
And you got a Greek salad.
Sure.
And turned to me and said, you know, honestly, do you want this? I've got no use for this.
I did not.
I have no use for this.
There will be no bigger teammate move by me to you in the full year than me handing you the no use for it Greek salad. And the truth is,
it was a teammate move. You just didn't want it, so it didn't
matter. Yeah, but I could, to be honest, I could have just sat there, pretended like maybe I'll have a leaf to make sure Deanna doesn't make fun of me being fat. Early, before I let it sit there, before I really hacked away at my meal, I made the move to the bullpen and said, you can have this. Seven years ago, I'm not doing that. 7 years ago, I'm like, what, is he judging me? I better have a couple leafs out of this. Oh, is that feta? I don't really like feta. It becomes a whole thing.
So you gave me this salad. So you had all of the meat and all of the bread, but none of the greens.
None of the greens.
And you said, I've got no use for this.
But you also had the best reaction. You took getting a salad so super serious because you had this mature look on your face. And I say mature because I just kind of felt like it. And you said, honestly, man, this means a lot because really what I'm looking at what I ordered is not what I ordered. I wanted greens, so I really could use the salad. Like, you almost became Shep in accepting the salad.
I did not say it means a lot. I think I said I appreciate that.
Oh, it was something along those lines. But
it means a lot would have been a little bit over the top for a salad.
But that was the thing. You received this salad as if you were Shep when we make fun of everything Shep does.
I was trying to be polite. You gave me something out of your meal that I really was looking for.
We had the big napkins on our laps. We were very, very fancy for what amounted to be a $15.99 pita with chicken I got.
What I can't understand, I can't wrap my mind around, is that Tuesday night you went to the media party.
Sure.
Oh, that was a Wednesday night dinner. Because Thursday night was the party that I went to that you did not come to.
Sure.
And Thursday night was you went out with Steve-O, Planet Steve-O Morale to the DraftKings house. So Tuesday night and Thursday
ended
night.
And at the Clevelander.
Yeah. Tuesday night and Thursday night, you had two nights of 8-plus drinks.
Sure. A lot of seltzers.
A lot of Bud Light seltzers. Sure. One night was a couple of Tito's.
Yeah. Actually, both nights featured some Tito's. Not a lot of beer for me on this trip. It was a couple beers.
How did you recover for a 4 a.m. wake-up call?
I'm trained now. I'm trained not to sleep. I'm trained to get... The baby changes everything. When the baby came, what is it? I'm so used to not sleeping between the baby in the morning.
You're drunk in 4 hours when you have to wake up.
Because I pound water while I sleep. I probably roll over every 45 minutes and like dream sleep. I mean, a dream drink. I pound waters.
So every 45 minutes, you wake up in the middle of the night, drink more water, go back to bed.
Basically, like on my own. It's like my mouth feels dry. I just roll over, chug it. I barely am awake, and I pass right back out. And I was going through, I probably went through a liter of water each night, and I was fine. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Wednesday night, I was humming like a hummingbird. I had 6 hours sleep. I was great. Friday morning was a little rough one. When I made the stumble in the convention center, I think there was a moment where I put water in my face and said, all right, let's calm down. Emmett Smith's going to be here in a half an hour. You'll sleep on the airplane, and I powered through. I don't know what a breathalyzer would have read at 6 a.m. Friday morning.
Would you have been legal to drive Friday morning?
Honestly, I would not have trusted.
So you were buzzed. You were buzzed for the Friday show.
I hate saying that because I woke up and it's a work thing. I don't put it this way. I don't know that I was, but I don't know that I wasn't. I certainly would have been in a position where if I was home and I felt like that, I would have Ubered to the train station. Yes. But I was good. I got myself together. Did you notice? I was talking to Ryan Fitzpatrick like nobody's business.
Yeah, no, you held it together. I didn't realize you were buzzed Friday morning for work.
It was definitely like I woke up in the room, did a little quick spin around, and I was like, ooh, get in the shower. Okay, let's just calm down. What I just kept telling myself was, you'll sleep on the plane. You'll sleep on the plane. You'll sleep on the plane.
And then you did.
Out like a light. I don't know if I snored because I had a seat by myself, but boy, was I conked out.
What do you mean seat by yourself? Do you usually share seats on the plane?
No, like I had nobody next to me.
A row to yourself.
Row to myself. I was in a two-seater by myself.
Okay.
And I shut my eyes before takeoff. I put down the shades. I had the mask on, the earplugs in. No, I didn't do earplugs. I downloaded a Rain music on Spotify, and I put on my headphones, the noise canceling. I am telling you, I got jostled awake because we were landing at JFK. I had no idea the flight had even happened.
Like wheels touched down, you got jostled?
Like the wheel, I heard the wee. You know, when they drop the wheels like you're landing, I shot awake and I went, no way. No, I don't even remember taking off.
You slept 3 hours.
Totally out. Totally out like a light. It was awesome. I had a little Quiznos sub before I boarded, fuckered me right out.
So we should tell the story of the Terry Bradshaw interview.
Right.
Because that was the most eventful interview, and that was when he commented on the birdseed bet picture.
Sure.
And to pay off your bet, I don't even know what. Oh, this was
the strike. Yeah, it's been so much nonsense. We can't even keep track anymore.
You know, pay off the strike. You had to show the picture of your birdseed bet where you were nothing but a Speedo with birdseed all over you, Crisco, Central Park, to a former Packer or a Hall of Fame quarterback to basically beg forgiveness for what you did to Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Get away from me, buddy.
Sure.
Said sure so many times.
I'm sorry.
So Bradshaw is scheduled for Thursday or Friday? Thursday.
Thursday.
Thursday after the show to tape for Friday.
Yes. So We get off the air 10 a.m. Eastern. I had Terry Bradshaw scheduled for 11 a.m. Eastern, which was the latest of all week we would tape anything or do anything, because usually we try to get out of there by 10:30 in the morning. You know, it's nice in Miami. We need one to nap, have lunch, the whole thing.
Also, we have to turn over the
studio.
Or yeah, the set.
The set,
to
right.
the other hosts for their tapings as
right.
well.
Right. It's very, you know, this. It's like a pit crew in a NASCAR race. You're just, you're getting everything going. So 11 a.m., because it was Terry Bradshaw, we all agreed, Terry Bradshaw is here. Let's make sure we get this done, and we will tape it Thursday at 11 a.m.
So you get the text message from his PR person that Terry's running late.
About a half an hour before.
And he didn't tell us how late. So we're like, how long are we going to wait around here for?
Right, exactly. He's running late. I'll let you know when I have it, but I'll bring him right over.
Bradshaw's a big enough guest. We knew he was going to be good. And we knew we had it set up that we wanted him to see the Birdseed bet.
Right. That was another part of this. It was the theatrics
of the
strike.
So we couldn't real bail. I mean, if this was a B-list or C-list guy, we could have just bailed on it. We had enough guests.
Agreed. Agreed.
But we had to stick it out. Plus, had we not gotten Terry Bradshaw, I don't know who you would have, I guess it would be Kurt Warner, who you would have had to show in the Birdseed bet.
Right, and Kurt was a nice guy, but I don't know how that would have went over in comparison to what we got. Because what we got out of Terry was gold.
Gold. Absolute gold.
Gold, Jerry, gold.
And speaking of it, let's play the Bradshaw audio here for our listeners. Before we let you go, our producer, Sean, who you met before, he once put a hex on Aaron Rodgers. He said Rodgers will never win another playoff game because Aaron Rodgers told him once upon a time, get away from me, buddy, because Mraz showed him a picture of himself.
Stop it.
Yes. Now,
he
yes.
told...
Tell well, me to get away from him. You're going to find out why right now.
Okay.
I'm a big Giant fan. The Packers beat the Giants right. in the playoffs a couple of years ago.
Right.
As part of losing a bet on the show, I had to go to Central Park in a Speedo covered in birdseed and have birds peck on.
Stopping me.
So a couple beers with Aaron Rodgers. I figure I'm going to show him the picture. He wanted no part of the picture, was so annoyed that I showed him the picture, and said, get away from me, buddy. Now to pay off another bet.
Oh, my God. He was not nice to you.
He was not nice to you. So I had to find now another Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Right. That's me.
And hope this gets better.
Oh. Wow, that is such a great. Is that you?
That's me. Well, yeah. In a Speedo, birdseed, yeah, Central Park. Yeah, Terry. What do you think?
That's a great picture. That really. And I love birds. I love birds. I used to race pigeons. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yes.
I did not.
When you see Home Alone in Central Park, most of those birds were my birds. You know, they're homing pigeons.
Right.
You race them and they come back home. Mine got lost and went to New York.
Well, none of them pecked on me, thankfully.
Yeah. No, none of them pecked on you. Well, I notice you have no seed anywhere else but your shoulder. Maybe.
We'd have birds pecking down there. Man.
So Aaron said, get away
get
from
away
me.
Get away from me, buddy.
Oh, that's sad.
So we just want to see
I apologize for him.
Thank you. So you're not going to tell me to get away from him?
Absolutely not.
Thank you, Terry.
I'm honored that I'm next to you, bub.
Thank you, Terry.
Unbelievable.
Terry Bradshaw working on behalf of Ford and the Hall of Fan. Coming up this weekend, the Hall of Fans from Ford. This was such a pleasure. Thanks,
Terry. Good to see you guys.
You
keep
too.
Up the great work.
Thank you.
Aaron Rodgers ought to be ashamed of himself.
So Bradshaw is awesome, obviously. He's cracking us all up. And it would not have happened had we not stuck it out. About a half hour passes by. We got no answer from the PR person. Almost an hour now has gone by past when we were supposed to have him. And you're like, when is bail time?
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Let's give it to 12:15.
Well, also, I'm not going to name names or throw anything under the bus. In a text message, I was told we were first in line, we'll bring him right over. We see him walk into the convention center,
right.
and he immediately shoots to a couple of the stations, at which point... Very rare I get angry. I was now upset and angry. So that prompted the when are we going to cut off the bail time when we see that we're kind of being yanked around a little bit.
Right. The PR guy shuffles Terry in and goes directly to NFL radio,
right.
NFL sanctioned radio. So, okay, understandably, they would be above us because they're through the league. But the PR guy said we were first.
That's where I was upset, right? Just don't say that.
So Mraz is now fired up. And we're watching Terry Bradshaw do this other interview. And the problem on Radio Row is no other show is respectful of that guy's time. If you've got
right.
him, you blow through your stoplight.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Which I always try from our standpoint to be mindful of that.
Right.
Because I think that helps the relationship with the PR people and is more likely to get us more guests if they know they can count on us to get their guests on schedule. I just think that's good business on my, you know, for my liking.
But NFL radio's not doing that.
Right.
They're blowing through the stop sign. So we're waiting. You eventually are like, what's our drop dead time? Like when are we leaving? And I said, give it till 12:15. Right at like 12:15, the PR guy sees the anger in our eyes because he's passing by us
right.
again. And he's like, okay, I'll get him over there. So Bradshaw gets on stage with us. He's like, how can I get up there? You've got to climb up the stairs.
Right, and you're trying to set up the video quick. We only have him for 8 to 10 minutes. It's a whole thing.
Because we have to have him on video to see his reaction to the birdseed bet.
Right.
We get him up there, and Terry is, he's out of it. I mean, he's sweaty. He's like, you can tell his head's spinning. He was either late and like he's being rushed around.
Could have had Bud Light seltzers himself. Who knows?
Who knows? And so I'm like, oh man, we got Terry and he's not in a good way right now. I think it's just,
it's overwhelming.
Overwhelmed. Yes. And Radio Row is overwhelming. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how the interview is going to go. And I don't know how the birdseed bet thing is going to go. Well, Terry settled down as I kind of asked him some old Steelers questions. I asked him about 1978. He had an MVP season.
Heart rate's dropping a little bit.
It was in Miami, so I asked him about his, you know, memories of a Super Bowl in Miami. Heart rate's dropping, no longer sweating, kind of calm. Now he's looking me in the eye, et cetera. And he's great. I mean, Bradshaw's just so good. And then the payoff is when we say, you know, Aaron Rodgers said, get away from me, buddy. Bradshaw's reaction was priceless. It was so good. He's joking around with us. He's telling us about how he used to race pigeons.
Right, that's such an underrated part of it.
He's hysterical.
He's making Home Alone references. And you know what was really great? How ridiculous our Aaron Rodgers story is on the near surface of it, right? Like the levels of it. I lose a bet. The bet payoff is I have to do this in Central Park. We happen to see Aaron Rodgers. It's not like we did the bet knowing we'd ever see Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's a lot of layers to it. And explaining that in basically 60 seconds to Terry Bradshaw to get to the punchline and show him the picture, he understood every layer of it without having to question anything and fully grasped and understood it, which I think is underrated by Terry there.
I think you're absolutely right. And he just nails it, which goes to show you why he's a legendary television personality. Right. He was perfect. So it all ended up paying off, and what was his line when he was like, did Aaron really say that? Yeah. Did Aaron Rodgers really say that?
Oh, that's terrible.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
He was so good. So, thankfully, it all paid off, and that was, I think, the most memorable guest from Radio Row.
Yeah, and they were all great. I mean, David Ortiz is basically answering phone calls from Clay Buchholz and Kevin Millar on Radio Row, which is just bizarre in itself that
he's on set with us, and Kevin Millar is calling him with Clay Buchholz from the golf course, FaceTiming. And Ortiz answers it during the interview.
Right, which is just...
And they're asking for Cuban cigars.
Right. And look, knowing David Ortiz's last year, I mean, who knows where that FaceTime could have been from or what was going on there.
Yeah. Or where he's getting the cigars from.
Exactly. So that was memorable. All the guests we had really in their own right were memorable. I mean, Carson Palmer went viral with the things he said. Emmett Smith, I thought, was excellent on Friday morning. It was really cool because that was a calm moment where, you know, not Radio Row wasn't chaotic yet. It was very early in the morning Friday.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I mean, you can't beat Terry Bradshaw sweating like he's Ewing in 94, breaking down the birdseed picture. It doesn't get better than that.
So you come home, and then you have your Super Bowl party.
Right.
And that was your last day before your boot camp.
Right.
Dietary boot camp.
It was supposed to be the last day. I would be lying if I told you that Monday did not fall with a little leftover hit to some degree. Mentally, it was the last.
You want to give me a quick scorecard of Sunday?
So Sunday, I cannot measure this in amounts as far as I dipped into a lot of buffalo chicken dip and some taco dip. I had a slice of mashed potato, loaded mashed potato pizza, which was like a thin crusted pizza with bacon bits cheese. Same style pizza, chicken vodka slice, which is penne alla vodka sauce with grilled chicken, fresh mozzarella. I had two garlic knots that I know of. There might have been one that triculated late in the third quarter. It's like the sack total with the 49ers. You forget who had what. I had a piece of American-style hero or hoagie or grinder, however you guys want to call that, wherever you were from. You know, big sandwich. A piece of American and a piece of Italian. So I had two pieces there. I had some macaroni salad as well that came with said sandwich. I can't tell you the amount of wings. It was somewhere between 10 to 18 bourbon-style wings from a place
that's
I ordered.
That's a big
from.
Skew, 10 to 18.
Because
that's
I,
a missing eight.
Because I didn't put 18 on my plate at once. It would be pass-bys, you know what I mean? Like, scoop and scores. You pick them up. But, like, I know, put it this way, the reason I said 10 to 18, I started with a base of 10, and I went up a couple more times when I was like, oh, this looks good, boom. I had at least two pigs in a blanket. I had at least four mini-rolled chicken quesadillas. Now that I'm saying this whole back, what a nightmare. And then dessert came out. We had a slice of ice cream cake, a slice of vanilla pudding pie, and I had two Reese's Pieces brownies, plus about six Kona Big Waves. And that would stay. I started about 3 p.m. Eastern, and that all ended about 10:30 p.m. Eastern.
That is an avalanche.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're calling it the nightmare on Thompson Trough.
That is just Legion of Boom over the Broncos.
But see, you know, you recite all that back, and it sounds gross, and it sounds like ridiculously unhealthy. But I got to be honest, in the moment of a big event like the Super Bowl, I don't think you think of it like that, right? Like, when you write it down after, you're like, woo. That man, could I have cut some corners here? Could I have written some of this off on taxes?
Well, comparatively, I had 3 tacos.
Okay.
Okay, my mom made a taco bar.
You ain't making no tacos.
Yeah.
They don't love you.
Jimmy Johnson, he was very proud of me. My mom made taco bar.
That's a nice, by the way, I like that. That's a nice Super Bowl treat, a little taco bar.
Yeah. Taco bar had some chips and guacamole, and I had 6 wings or 7 wings, and then I had... like a jelly donut.
Okay, a donut on
my
a
mom got jelly donuts.
You know
who
what?
Who would ever?
That's an oddball thing, but I like it. I like where her head was at. I like it.
So comparatively, I had 3 tacos, 7 wings, and a jelly donut.
Right, I had everything but a partridge and a pear tree. I gotta ask, the pizzas were a hit, though.
I did have 2 Coronas.
All right.
That was nice.
You had 2 Coronas. I went to 7, again, 7 Conas with the, and by the way, I slept about 2.5 hours before coming in here Monday. Salt coming out of my chin.
So when are you really going to go to boot camp?
It started today.
Really? But did you have a slice of hero
right.
today?
Look, guys, I did not grill my chicken last night for my salads. I had 1 leftover slice of sandwich. It's like a finger sandwich. I had Special K with almond milk for breakfast. I have a banana I'm about to have on the train in a little bit. And then later, I have a very no side, but a lean steak with some asparagus. That is my dinner.
You don't want one of those cupcakes?
I see them out there. I've passed them. I've done the circle like Jaws around the boat. I'm going to avoid it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be good about it. Now, there will be some stress because it should be noted, little editor's note. I had some car trouble this morning. My car did not start. I don't know if I need a battery starter or an alternator. Yeah. And when I get stressed, the snack cabinet gets torn apart. So I'm hoping I have some discipline here.
On that point, this morning's show, something that made me laugh was when you were talking about your dad's deli experience, his resume. Your dad, Bob the Deli Man, is a longtime deli slicer for...
Deli slicer.
Well, would that be fair?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a deli manager slash supervisor. I mean, he doesn't just, you know, ring it in there for $9 an hour. He's a well-compensated for higher up in the Brooklyn deli business.
That's true. Bob the Deli Man doesn't actually work the deli counter.
Well, that's the thing. He's a leader by example. He absolutely will. But that's also, I got to be honest, some of the stories I hear, he doesn't have to. He never trusts his employees. Like, it drives him nuts. He sees somebody that's not the right thickness. He jumps in on that slicer. He can't let go 18-year-old him on the deli slicer. He's always going to jump in. It's like a player manager. It's unbelievable.
So... he is right now at a food town.
And yes.
That's kind of where his career has
started been. His career, has been now at this food town for a long, long time, yes.
Now, people around the country will have obviously many different grocery stores. Right. I had mistakenly said a King Cullen.
Right.
Only because King Cullen is the grocery store on Long Island that comes to mind for me.
Okay. There's not many left.
Was that in the 80s?
Well, it's funny. There's like 2 King Cullens left, and one of them is now 3 blocks from my house.
Okay.
The house that I bought. So when you say King Cullen, it's like, well, I'm right there, but no. That is not. That was very popular in the 80s. Many have closed down since.
So that must be why I remember it as the growing up.
Right.
You know, you go to Long Island, the big King Cullens.
The big ones now are Stop and Shop and ShopRite. Those are the 2 monster conglomerates on Long Island for supermarkets.
Okay, and your dad has worked at Food Town almost exclusively, except for what you said, a short time at...
ShopRite.
At ShopRite.
Yeah, he... It's so funny to think about in free agency terms, but ShopRite came a calling for Bob the Deli Man.
Yes.
I want to say, actually, I could tell you when it was, because his exit was right when the original XFL was launching. Don't know me how I remember this, but it was right
spring around... Spring of
01. Spring of 01. So I would say about 1998, Yankees are on their run. Food Town now is on the precipice of being bought over by Edwards, who later became Stop and Shop. I know way too much about the Long Island supermarket. And Bob was a little scared after all those years at Food Town, like new ownership. It's a company coming down from Massachusetts.
Sure.
Who knows where I stand? And he had a buddy he used to work with that said, look, We are launching all these shop rights on Long Island. We know your resume. I need you here at the store in Uniondale. Bob went home, weighed the options, like most free agents do with their wives. And he took the deal. And people were stunned. I mean,
really?
Bob's going to leave the Freeport food town?
Yeah.
I mean, where are they going to get their Linsa tarts anymore? And he was upset about it, but he said, ultimately, it's the move I had to make for a family. Now, you got a growing me at 11 years old. My sister's about 9. My other sister's 7. And he's got to put food on the table. So he went to call in the ShopRite. Now, look, things didn't go maybe as planned with ShopRite. He wasn't as comfortable there. It wasn't home for him. You fast forward right around the launch of the XFL. I remember this because they had opened another ShopRite, and he wanted to get home for the XFL's first night, and he was in the middle of setting up a store for them and everything, and he came home, and that was the night he said, I had it. We're sitting down to get ready to watch the Hitmen play whoever the Rage, and Bob was cursed up a storm. He had had it with ShopRite. I remember this vividly. XFL launches. We watch the game. League's a disaster, yada, yada, yada. Within a month, Food Town is going to come back, but not to Long Island, to Brooklyn, to Queens, to Manhattan. And the owners of Food Town wanted to represent the Food Town brand that had been in New York. And they knew of my dad. My dad had this excellent reputation. They called up the house phone. It was like George Steinbrenner calling, you know? Whoever the owner of Food Town was says, do we have Bob Morish here? Now, ShopRite couldn't find out this was going on. He had an exit clause in the deal. And Food Town calls him, and he offers him this deal. Now, the problem is going to be a little bit of a long commute. It would be like, you know, taking a job down in Philly, but you work in Manhattan, you don't want to relocate. It's going to be a long drive for Bob the Deli Man. Bob gets on the negotiating table with no agent, negotiates a company car to pay him for mileage, to pay him for gas. Nobody had heard of company cars, especially in the deli supermarket business. He was on a stockbroker. It was unbelievable. So, Dad, you get a company car? He took the deal. We're looking 2001 to 2020. Bob has been there ever since. Hasn't left his base Bay Ridge Brooklyn store, although he has supervised his other stores. He's a big part of Food Town. Whenever they open a new store, he does all the setups for them. He is the example. They bring him to these big events in Yonkers where he has to show what he's done, and every store has to follow his lead of what he's done in Bay Ridge. And frankly, he's legendary now at Food Town. You can't walk into a Food Town and not mention Bob the Deli Man's name, and people go, can you believe he invented the chicken marsala bar? I mean, he has done so much with hot food. Really, I mean, it's yeoman's work, and I'm so proud of him.
That is an amazing story. That is one of your best moments ever.
Is it?
Telling the Bob the Deli Man career story.
You can ask him to stop me dead in the tracks. I got everything spot on.
Oh,
even the timing, because I'll never forget the XFL and that thing.
So it's like the Chargers allowing Philip Rivers to live in L.A.
Right.
Or live in San Diego, rather, when they moved to L.A. Right. It's like, hey, he's done enough.
Now, I will say, speaking of Philip Rivers, my mom's probably had it with the commute now, because Bob, as he's gotten older, a little grumpier when you're riding on the Phil Parkway every day for an hour and a half. So I think as a grandfather now, Bob's time at Food Town might be coming to an end before we know it. I hope we're not breaking any news, but I would not be shocked if in 3 years he hangs up the apron. And when he does that, I don't know that. I mean, the fingerprint will be there, but maybe they're needing more mobile managers. Like, you need the mobile quarterback in the NFL. And if that's the case, you know, I just hope his legacy isn't forgotten. The pocket deli manager doesn't really work anymore.
Oh, my God. We were talking about that, you know, those couple of years at ShopRite. Like you said, that's kind of like Andy Pettit's Astros years.
Right.
You know, he had to come back.
Had to come back home. And the rest is history. A lot of good Christmas presents thanks to those paychecks.
Oh, my God. That is just so good. So, Bob the Deli Man, total legend, throws the best party ever, has the best outdoor bar connected to a house ever.
Sure. And really has made the best rotisserie chickens for quite some time.
Well, that's an amazing place to end Side A. Maybe the entire episode. I don't know. Is there any way to follow that up?
There's no way to follow it up. I will tell you this. Regardless, I'm not going to have time to tape a Side B. But I could wait a day.
Well, I think that's almost as long as we need for the entire thing. So why don't we just use that? Because that's really amazing.
All right. Sounds good.
Wow. Wow. Bob the Deli Man's 30 for 30. You just heard it. His football life right here.
The Permission Granted Podcast.
All right. Subscribe to the PGP. Rate it and review it. We appreciate the patronage. And until next week, the Permission Granted Podcast disconnects.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.